Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. I know you're here because you're still hanging out because you heard Eva Rosenberg was going to be with us. And you're right, because she's here. Eva is a national tax columnist. She's the author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy. She is actually the tax mama. And that's what she calls herself. And she's one of our top tax experts in our brain trust and has been with me for a long time. Eva Rosenberg, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. And how are you this morning?
Doing great. It's good to have you here. We're out there in California. And one of the things that's happened in California recently, besides the fires that they have had up in the northern part of the country, of the state, which we feel badly for those folks, but is you had a notorious bank failure out there recently, Eva. The IndyMac Bank, which is kind of an odd name, but IndyMac is what it's called, and it became this last week, I guess, the largest, not the largest, but one of the largest bank failures in the history of our banking industry, didn't it?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But once I started looking into this, do you realize who IndyMac was?
Tell us.
They were founded by the guys who started Countrywide.
Yeah.
And they needed a place for to put some of the loans they couldn't sell, and, you know, to set up a bank for their customers with mm-hmm. these really low-rated loans, these stated income loans.
They called Alt-A's. Alternative
yeah.
A loans.
But for those people, you know, who are getting them, these are these loans that are based on air.
Right.
There was
no real information about the buyer, about the borrower, you know, income, verification. Well, don't worry about that. Let's just get you in the house, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, and then you look at what happened with Countrywide, which made an absolute fortune setting up loans to everybody and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Bear in mind, LA Times here publishes a list of the highest paid Southern California executives. And every year, several of the top executives on Countrywide were on that list with obscenely high salaries, $20, $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they were pulling out of the profits they were generating from this pyramid scheme of loans.
Did you hear that the FBI is looking into some things that went on with IndyMac?
No.
Yeah, and the FBI. This week there was a report that the FBI was looking into some of the. I don't know. I'm not sure what they're looking into with IndyMac, but there is some activity by the FBI with regard to that failure. Well, here's the thing that I'm glad you're here to talk about, Eva, and I've been talking about it already this week a little bit, and that is, you know, how to know what to do with your money. Now, there's some structural things that you can do, some practical things you can do, and just some basic banking, good banking practices that you can perform. You know, one of the things that I recommend to people, Eva, is to know a little bit about your bank. Understand, know a little bit about how they do their business, and all banks are not exactly the same. There are lots of different types of banks in terms of their scale. There are community banks, there are regional banks, and there are national banks. There still are some thrifts out there, some savings and loans. I guess that's kind of what IndyMac had become. But mostly it's commercial banks. There also are some credit unions out there. People have their money in credit unions. So understand a little bit about the business model of your bank. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Understand that. Understand who they're insured by, and also find out if they have additional insurance in excess of the FDIC limits.
Which is?
Well, there may be different things in different areas. For instance, in Massachusetts, all chartered savings banks have to carry depositors' insurance fund, and all of the money is insured.
Really?
I ran across something called CDARS, Certificate of Deposit Account Registry Service,
mm-hmm.
and that's something the banks can subscribe to, that if you've got a lot of money in the bank, they will spread your money among multiple banks, basically under the behind the scenes.
Right. Of course, because
the basic
FDIC coverage is $100,000 per account, right?
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, I want you to help sort that out for us. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about this practical part about not the structural. The FDIC thing is a structural, but there also is some practical things that you should know about doing business with your bank. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. Little Richie Valenzuela bringing us back. Okay, yes, it says Richie Valens on the record, but it's really Richie Valenzuela. That was his real name. Anyway, that's the late, great Richie Valens, and that's one of the great songs. Welcome back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Eva Rosenberg is all over all of our websites. She's contributed so much to us over the years, her wisdom, her knowledge, her best tips and practices. And she's a national tax columnist, author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy. She is the tax mama. But we're not talking taxes today, are we, Eva? We're talking about banking, aren't we?
We are. And you know what? The thing that started getting me interested in this problem didn't happen this last week or so. Back in December, somebody wrote to me from Tennessee and said his wife had a CD in an online bank that exceeded the FDIC guaranteed amount, and they went into receivership, and she lost the money that exceeded the FDIC limit.
Yeah, of $100,000.
Right, but mm-hmm. we'll talk about that in a minute about what that really is. And you know, he was asking about the tax implications, and I was more interested in how could she have avoided that. So I started looking around and asking people, you know, what other ways, you know, you can, you know, if there's other kind, there must be other kinds of insurance. What do rich people do? You know, they have a lot
right.
of money, you know, what are they doing to keep it protected? And so I came across some stuff, like the Depositors Insurance Fund I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was for everybody, until I talked to the guys this week, and they told me, no, we are only, you know, strictly working with Massachusetts banks.
Oh.
But then, you know, you're looking around, there are several organizations that cover additional insurance for credit unions.
Hmm.
So you've got...
There's the FDIC equivalent for credit unions.
Well, no, I mean above that. I think the credit unions are NCUA.
Right.
But there's American Share Insurance. There is excess share insurance.
And so that's an extra layer of protection that the credit unions and or the banks can overlay on the FDIC?
Well, yeah. These are just for credit unions. But every mm-hmm. industry probably has something similar. So let's go back to the FDIC for a minute. So first of all, look at your bank, and if you have too much money in your bank... either restructure.
That's always a problem for me. Every morning I wake up and I say, what am I going to do with all this extra money I have in the bank?
You and me both.
Yeah, all small business owners have that problem, don't we?
The good ones do.
We need to go turn some of that money loose. It's just too much there. Go ahead.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, when I was working, I got pissed at this because I was trying to pull out of a parking lot this Monday morning and couldn't get out of the parking lot for like 15 minutes because the traffic was stopped. And I found out that they were stopped because traffic was frozen because they were all trying to pass the Indy Mac Bank.
Right.
At, you know.
People were standing in line trying to get their money out.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm a little bit annoyed, so I start looking into this and work up this impromptu article for MarketWatch. And so I look at what the FDIC limits are. And what's interesting about the article is there are like 40 comments that people made on the article.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the comments somebody made was that, you know, if you put together all the different types of coverage the FDIC offers for the different types of accounts, a family of four could have more than $1 million worth of FDIC covered accounts.
Insured accounts, yeah.
That's right, without having to move them to other banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look at what you can do. And you know, this applies to businesses as well.
Right.
Okay? FDIC will cover $100,000 for a single depositor in that single depositor's name. So you use that $100,000 limit for the business's liquid accounts,
mm-hmm.
you know, liquid money. Now you can have $200,000 for a joint account, an account, you know, covered by two people.
Right. So both of you, you and your wife, are signed on the card at the same time. That could be $200,000.
Yeah, so for, you know, for
and they'll need people. They'll need two social security numbers, et cetera, okay.
Exactly. Now, if you're a business, let's say you have a different business subunit or a subsidiary or whatever, you could put them both on an account that increases it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have retirement accounts, $250,000 for each retirement account, each
mm-hmm.
Roth, each IRA, each
right.
SEP, and so forth.
Right.
You could have a whole bunch of those different things,
right.
but you can't touch that money.
Right.
So that doesn't do a lot of good.
Without incurring a penalty in interest.
Right, you know.
Right.
So most of that
you can touch it, but you get penalized. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's expensive. So that's not where, you know, you're putting money that you may need to tap into
right.
at some point. But you're putting money you can invest in. Really, probably the retirement money ought not to be sitting in banks.
Right.
It ought to be in something that actually makes more than 1.5%.
Exactly.
Then they also have trust accounts that covers an additional $100,000 for each owner. So you spend a little bit of money setting up a trust, and you can have a trust account for husband, wife, and each child, and so forth. So you can still do things like that.
Right.
Now, you know, you're a business. We're talking to business people. You have more than that much money. You need the money in the bank to have the relationship. You may have, you know, like $1 million liquid moving around back and forth, or backup money because you're going to be doing some projects. Check to make sure your bank has something called CDARS coverage.
That's
Certificate of Deposit Account Registry Service.
Okay.
And if the bank is subscribed to that, what they do is, you know, you put your money, your excess money in certificates of deposit. They spread that among other banks, but you get one statement.
And you're able to get access to it back into your operating account when you need it.
Anytime.
That's right. That's the main thing. But in a minute we're going to come back and talk about how to make sure you don't accidentally or intentionally put that money over into your personal account. Unless that's what you really want to do. Stay with us, Tintel. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour, 53 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Eva Rosenberg, the author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy. Eva, tell us where the book's available and tell us how we can get you. I know you got a new website.
Well, Small Business Taxes Made Easy is available at Amazon or any bookstore, or just go to taxmama.com. You'll see a logo of the book and click on that.
All right.
There's also another evolving ebook, The 100% Home-Based Business Tax Solution. And I update that every time the tax laws change, so anytime
right.
you download the new version at no extra charge, it's always current.
So you buy it once and you keep getting the updates.
At least for the year. You'll have to renew the subscription for next year because it's evolving.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they got to pay for the work, don't they?
Sure. But you can keep the old version and not have to pay for that. That'll work.
That's right. So that's taxmama.com. And they can find the ebook and how to get the hardback book, Small Business Taxes Made Easy, right there. So check it out in your newsletter. They can subscribe there too, can't they?
By the way, for you know, a lot of people, a lot of your readers, your members have read the book. If they have any tips, I'm updating the book for the end of this year, Small Business Taxes Made Easy. If they have tips or stories, send them to me, and they'll get visibility in the book.
All right, good. Appreciate that. Okay, Eva, One of the things I want to point out, folks, if you have more than $100,000 in your business operating account, don't put the excess over into an account within your name, because you've just created a taxable event if you do that. Make sure the money stays under the business name, right, Eva?
Well, it depends on the business. You know, if you're self-employed and you're not incorporated.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about corporations, people with a tax ID number and all that.
If you're a corporation, well, first of all, let's look at businesses in general, because not everyone incorporates. A lot of people who have small businesses don't often, believe it or not, get a separate bank account for the business. So, first of all, set up a separate bank account. Second, get a federal ID number for your business.
Yep.
A lot of businesses that don't have payroll don't have federal ID numbers because they think IRS doesn't want them to, and that's true. Lie to IRS if you have to, but get a federal ID number, because that gives you the opportunity to have another separate bank account.
And a tax ID number, folks, is just an important thing to own if you're a small business. And let me tell you something else, Eva. Folks, if you've got a business that's capable of generating income that surpasses the $100,000 FDIC insurance, you should be incorporated or an LLC or something.
Exactly.
That's the reason why I just presumed, Eva, because if you're selling soap at craft shows, and then you probably don't have a $100,000 tax problem, but
you'd be surprised.
I know. I'm not dissing the soap folks, but I'm just saying, if you got over $100,000 in your account, you need to be incorporated because you need the protection.
Well, what happens is sometimes somebody starts some little thing, and it suddenly becomes so successful, they have all this money flooding in and don't realize how much they've got. Mm-hmm. So watch what you're doing. Definitely sit down with somebody and decide what type of an entity you need to be, you know, based on your state and what you want in mind. But as a business, you do need a federal ID number. If you're incorporated or whatever, Jim says don't take the money out. If you need to take the money out to protect it, you can take it out as a loan, set up a note, and then take that money and put it into another account. But you've got to walk through the steps to protect it.
But aren't there better ways of doing that to keep the money in the business so you don't have to go through the loan thing? Because then you get into imputed interest and everything. Isn't there a better way to do that by just going to your banker and saying, look, I got a couple $100,000 in my operating account. It's not going to be there forever, you know, because I'm going to be using it to pay bills. What can I do, Mr. Banker, Ms. Banker, what can I do to make sure that I'm still under the insurance, under the FDIC insurance?
And that's the excellent thing to do, is ask your banker what alternatives they have. There may be special insurance you can pay a little bit extra for, so that let's say you don't want to put it into a CD and lock it in. You want the use of the money, the bank will sweep your money and give you a higher rate of interest by using it overnight and so
forth.
That's
exactly right.
And maybe the bank can provide you with some additional kind of insurance that you may pay a little extra for, so you can get the higher rate of return and still have coverage.
Eva, I've got to wrap it up. Folks, I was going to point out that in the next hour, we're going to have some real-life bankers on the show, and we're going to talk about how to make sure that your bank is okay so that you know if you even want to do business with them. Eva, thanks for being here. Good job today. This was really good stuff you brought us today.
Well, you're always wonderful.
And
your
very timely.
Very lucky.
I'm sorry?
Your audience is very lucky to have you.
Well, and to have you too. Thanks, Eva. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.